In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst. I just realized that the lights are not on out there, so I guess we're okay here. So, St. Gregory the Theologian is who we commemorate today. And we know him because of many different aspects of his life. And oftentimes, we know him and we see him all the time when we're in the sanctuary, of course, because in the back of almost all Orthodox altars, there will be the hierarchs, in particular, Basil, John, and Gregory. And then also Athanasius, who we celebrated last week, Cyril, Dionysios, you'll see. It depends upon how big it is. But certainly the three hierarchs that we will commemorate here just at the end of this week. And we know St. Basil and St. John, of course, I think mainly because of the two liturgies that we often celebrate, St. John the most, and then St. Basil 10 times during the year. And but St. Gregory doesn't have a liturgy that is attributed to him, but he is of equal stature, of equal importance in the three hierarchs and in all of the saints of the church. And we should know this because of the title that he has, theologian. There's St. John the theologian, St. Gregory the theologian, and St. I just lost the last one, not Seraphim the theologian, not Seraphim, who? Simeon the theologian, St. Simeon the theologian. So there's only three that have the title of theologian. And Gregory in particular, in the early fourth century when he was born and when he lived, to the point that he, when he fell asleep in the Lord late in the fourth century, wrote and preached much about the theology of the church. And we take for granted, often we take for granted, that which we hear and we read now in this time, in this age, because much of this, especially in the church, of course, or in the church, I should say, is accepted and understood, and it's heard and it's preached and it's taught about the teachings and the nature and the divinity and the fully God and fully man of Christ, and the nature and the theology of the Trinity, and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And all these things we take for granted because we hear this and we accept this. But at this time in the history of the church, it was not to be taken for granted. In fact, St. Gregory in particular, after he was educated and after he spent some time with St. Basil, his close friend in monasticism, was asked to come to Constantinople because at that time there was, among other things that were attacking the church, the heresy of Arianism. And it was said that in the church for some 40 years, not only were there the identified individuals who were teaching heretical teachings about the faith, but there were clergymen, there were people that were within the church and leaders of the church that were also teaching this. And so it was said that the churches in this area were suffering from the heresy of Arianism for some 40 years. And when Gregory came to Constantinople and when he was brought in to combat, to teach the true, to offer the true teaching about, in particular, the Trinity, but about the faith, within a few years, it's said that all the churches that were in that area that formerly were teaching Arianism, heresy, that they became within a few years to be teaching, to be preaching, and to be living the true faith. So just in a few years, after 40 years of heretical teaching, St. Gregory the theologian. And the point that I wanted to bring out today as I was thinking about this and reading about Gregory in particular, but knowing about St. John and St. Basil, when St. Gregory was born, his mother was a Christian. His father later became a Christian, not only a Christian, but the bishop of Nazianzus, as we often hear Gregory referred to, in an area where, in fact, it was his father who was the bishop there. But he was taught from a very young age, before he went to Athens and was educated there, about all these things, the philosophy, divine philosophy, and theology, and all these other things, he first and foremost was taught by his mother about Scripture. So everything that Gregory, the foundation that was laid for him, who became and who is to us today, one of the most important theologians, one of the most important preachers and teachers about theology, first and foremost, was taught and knew his Scripture. You know, we've said this before, the liturgies that we have. I was talking to our Goyans yesterday, and we were talking about a number of things about Scripture. And we were talking about some of the things that they experience in their schools and with their friends who are non-Orthodox. And oftentimes the topic comes back to Scripture, about what the Bible says. What the Bible says about this, what the Bible says about that. And one of the things that we often forget, or maybe even don't know, is that everything that we do, almost entirely from our liturgy, is based upon Scripture. It's either a direct quote from Scripture, or it's paraphrasing, or it's the essence of either Old Testament or New Testament. Our worship is based on Scripture. Our teaching, our preaching is based on Scripture. And either we don't know that or we forget that oftentimes. And we have an example in Gregory. And this is, if there's one thing to take away about the life of St. Gregory the theologian, no, there wasn't the liturgy attributed to him like Basil or John. But he spoke and he taught and he preached about the essence, the tenets, the foundation, the foundational truths of the Christian faith. And he did so because he first and foremost was catechized by his mother in the Holy Scriptures. And so this is and should be an example and a lesson to all of us. And Gregory himself wrote so many beautiful things, and those of you who were here earlier and were hearing the hymns that we were chanting, the reason why, of course, we read from these two scriptural passages in Orthros and in the liturgy from John, that we hear about every hierarch is about the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, because our bishops in particular are shepherds who are to emulate themselves after the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. So we heard in one of the hymns, O devout, thrice blessed, O Holy Father, Good Shepherd and disciple of Christ, the chief shepherd, you laid down your life for the sheep. O all-lauded Gregory the theologian, pray for us that by your intercessions the Lord grant us his great mercy. And then again, the hymns of the praises, one of the hymns of the praises. It says, Divinely eloquent Father, when you planted with your tongue the godly seed in the furrows of the heart, then to the complement of the church you brought the harvest of the sublime and richest theology. With the Spirit's fire from the church you burned away the thorny weeds of heresies, and you were bred on the highest love for divine philosophy. Father of fathers and the pastor of pastors, bright star of priests and the pride and joy of the world and the glory of the faithful blessed Gregory. And then one last thing I want to say, he wrote many, many things, sermons, poems. Some were apologetic to refute the heretics. Some were theology. Some were practical lessons on Scripture. But all these are preserved, these orations of Gregory. Five of them in defense of and in explanation of the Trinity. Some beautiful sermons on the Nativity and Theophany. And he spoke in one of his orations, 31, speaks about the Holy Spirit. He says, The divinity of the Holy Spirit is a sublime subject. Look at these facts. Christ is born. The Holy Spirit is his forerunner. Christ is baptized. The Spirit bears witness to this. Christ works miracles. The Spirit accompanies them. Christ ascends. The Spirit takes His place. What great things are there in the idea of God which are not in His power? What titles pertaining to God do not apply also to Him, the Spirit He's speaking about, except for unbegotten and begotten? I tremble when I think of such an abundance of titles and how many names they, the heretics, blaspheme, those who revolt against the Spirit. You see, St. Gregory the theologian offered for us today, 1,600 years later, when in more subtle maybe, but no less heretical influences on the church that we experience today, St. Gregory and St. John and St. Basil and many of the saints offered from their pious and humble lives in devotion to the Lord with a deep and abiding knowledge of Scripture, that which we have today for us as we are faced with some of these very same things. So let us study, let us read, let us enjoy what has been preserved of the writings of St. Gregory the theologian, and let us ask for his intercessions to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he too will strengthen us so that we will understand, we will live, we will teach, and we will preach the true faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.